On today's episode, Freddie goes solo talking about his favorite topic ever, money. So stay tuned because you want to hear his tips and tricks on your relationship with money. This is the Freddie and Alyssa Show.
All right, everyone. So we've got a great show for you today. As some of you may have seen on Instagram, we leased a brand new car. And I really want to bring up, I want to talk about money today. I want to talk about my relationship with money. Alyssa and I have really, over the past 8 years, over the past even 10, 11 years, have learned a lot about our relationship with money. And I really feel like a lot of people we'll share tips about money or finances, but they're more blanketed statements or they're kind of just like a two cents. And I've really always been fascinated with learning and I've made so many mistakes. I have a story that I want to share with you of how I got to this point. And I have a lot of different things that I want to bring up that may help you. It just depends on where you are in life or what you're looking for. So it might not be for everybody, but I want to give you my side of how I see money, how my journey has led me to that point. And we'll get into that today. But first, I want to talk about 23andMe. For those of you who've been following us for the past month, maybe it's even been 2 months. Alyssa and I have been hearing a lot about 23andMe, and that's where you give a saliva sample, you send it in to 23andMe, and they will do a DNA test. They'll show you your ancestry, like what parts of the world your ancestors are from, where your DNA is, and you can even do a health side of it, where it'll show you if you have any genes that are prone to like certain diseases and just so you're kind of aware and not all negative stuff with in your health. Like it'll let you know if you're like an elite athlete or if you are prone to maybe not like for me, I was very, very happy that I don't have the gene where I'll lose my hair. So that's pretty cool. But they give you an extensive list of things with your genetics for your health and your ancestry. And you never know out there if there's a first, second, third, fourth cousin who might be looking to meet other people in their family. I met a second cousin through 23andMe, and it's really interesting. So you never know who's going to be on there. I think as this database begins to grow over the next year, 5 years, 10 years, it's going to leave a blueprint for our kids. Because even when I talked to my grandma the other day on the phone on my birthday, she called me. When I go home this summer, I want to ask her and I want to learn about her parents more, because back in the day, there was a few photos, maybe a couple videos. This generation, our generation, the generations that are on video and on audio and are taking pictures are going to leave a blueprint so that our great, 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 great grandkids are going to be able to look back and not only see a photo, but get to see a little bit about who we are. And it's going to be amazing to be able to see with your DNA, to leave that for your kids as well. And your great, 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 great grandkids to see everything and what traits they got from what grandparents. So it's a really good idea. If you're in the market to wanting to do it, there's a couple different companies that do it, but we use 23andMe. And it was amazing. And we have a referral link. If you want to do it, it'll save you up to 10%. And it is kind of pricey. I think it's $100 just for the ancestry part and another $100 for the health. So it is $200, but with the link, you can receive up to 10% off. So that'll save you some coin. And the link is www.alyssatabbitt.com/discount. So if you go there, you can click on the link and this way you can read all about it and see if it's a good fit for you. But we love the website. We loved everything that it shared with us. And it's kind of an ongoing thing. There might be someone 3 years from now that I meet that's another cousin or a friend or someone that you can all meet through this. So it's just really cool to know. But this way you can save a little coin, because me and Alyssa ended up paying full price for mine. And so the discount's going to be really nice if you ever wanted to do it. So you can go to alyssatabbitt.com/discount for that. Now, let me hop into where this kind of all started. And I'm probably going to jump around a lot today. But what I want to start off with first is one of our main purposes for the podcast, one of our main purposes for speaking our mind and really sharing who we are is I'm a true believer in using an open mind. I don't like just hearing one little thing and then making up my decision about it. And a lot of people use these blanket statements or they give their two cents. And I appreciate that. I know that people are mainly giving their two cents because they want to help you or they heard something that might have helped them. But the thing about giving just your two cents is that where's the other 98? sense? Where's the full dollar? Where's the extra behind the scenes information that allows us to actually learn about specific things? Because I heard a lot of headlines. I heard a lot of two cents. For instance, why are you wasting money renting? You should be owning. You're just throwing that money away. Many people have probably heard that, right? Or, oh, you're leasing. You're just wasting money. Or you should save, or you should do this, or you should do that. But it's just kind of a blanket statement. It's like, so what is it really like to get a loan and buy a house? What's the difference between leasing a car, buying a used vehicle, or buying a brand new vehicle? These are common things that were never taught in school that I never learned. And if our parents didn't share it or a friend didn't dive into it, how would we ever know? How would we know the difference? And these are things that every single person is going to have to make a decision like this in their life. You're going to be buying or leasing a car at one point. You're going to be renting or buying a home, understanding taxes better. So I took it amongst myself to, I have pieces of paper like this around the house. Alyssa gets like so mad at me because I have them laying everywhere. I crunch numbers. I write things down. I'm looking at every scenario. It took me 6 weeks of getting information together to decide what is best for us when it comes to leasing, buying new, or buying used. Now, we made what we believe is the best decision for us. But I want to give you just a slight backstory in case it's the first time you've heard this story. But real quick, the backstory here of how I was with money. When I grew up, I was taught that saving money was a good thing. I was always save. My dad always used to say, we even have it in our book, make hay while the sun shines, save your money for a rainy day, all of that stuff. So I was always saving money. When I was 18 years old, I moved out here with $5,000 in my bank account. And I was feeling really good about myself. I was working a job. I worked at American Eagle for $8 an hour. So I didn't have much money. And this is where my journey started at 18 years old. Living in California with a roommate, $8 an hour. So I didn't have much money. All right. I never was afraid that I wouldn't be able to eat, but I was not making a lot of money. $8 an hour is not going to cut it out in Los Angeles for sure. So I went 3 years with not having much money. And then I started booking commercials, booked 90210, booked Days of Our Lives. And I went from this like broke person to now having quite a bit of money. And in 2014, in the spring, was at the height of what I believed was my freedom. I had a great job, a great business with Alyssa. And we had about $150,000 in a savings account and what we thought we were also debt-free from our understanding. So if you, in 2014, I'm like, hey, we're living the dream. And I felt the emotional difference of stressed out about money to having money, the actual person I became and how I felt stressed about money to not as stressed about money was vastly different. Confidence-wise, I was making decisions based on what I wanted to do. I wasn't making decisions based out of desperation. I wasn't making decisions off of other people. I was making decisions based off of what I want to do because I had a little cushion. Well, I went from nothing to having something. And then for those of you who knew, in 2014, I had that car accident with Alyssa. The criminal side of it was very expensive. The surgeries, the flying, let's just chalk it up to it was extremely an expensive mistake. And then about a year after that happened, a year and almost a half, I found out that my savings that I had already eaten through most of it, I then realized wasn't even mine, that my business manager had been the money that I thought was going to my taxes for those 3 years was actually going into her pocket, and then she disappeared. So not only did she steal all that money, but I owed 3 years tax to the IRS. So from 2014 of $150,000, which I thought was debt-free and I had $150,000, to 18 months later with poor decisions and also bad spending habits over that course of those 2 years, went from $150,000 in the bank to $120,000 in debt. And then for the past 3 years, we've worked our way out of that. So the reason I bring that up is that we started from nothing. We had money. We got way down to no money. And then we were able to build ourselves out. So within an 8-year spectrum, we were able to experience all different levels of money, not like multi-millions. That's a different kind of thing. But in the pocket of like no money to some money to having no money at all to then building money again, I now have a better understanding of the relationship with money because of my emotional status. Now, the other thing I want to pinpoint is that when I was growing up, and I don't know if this is a male thing or what it is, or maybe it's just me, but I think it's a lot of males. we like the flashy things, and so many people are spending money on flashy cars they can't afford. They're spending money on bigger homes. They're spending like, and I did the same thing. As soon as I booked 90210, I got rid of a car that was paid off. Granted, it had scotch tape on the headlight and it was a real piece of crap with no air conditioning, but it was paid off. And my 21-year-old self, after making a little money on 90210, decides I'm going to go buy a BMW and get a car payment and high insurance is ridiculous. But I wanted to show off to the people that I no longer even spend time with. So go figure with that. So over all of these mistakes, I've chalked all this up to where I am now. And I want to share with you what we did with the lease, buying used and buying new. But then I also want to share with you kind of how I see money now, and maybe you're in a situation that this could help you. So I'm going to hop into that here in just 1 second. Okay, so when it came down to Alyssa and I, what we wanted to do next for the car, because we had a high car payment, we were driving a luxury vehicle, and the car insurance was through the roof. And I was like, we have to stop doing this. We have to get our bills down so that we don't over leverage ourselves, because I think that's one of our biggest problems, is that if you make $5,000 a month and you get a $300 a month raise, what do most people do? They don't take that $300 and invest it. No, they take that $300 and go, ooh, my next car, I can spend $300 more. Excuse me. And that's just not the right way to think about money. And that's what we used to do. So when it comes to the lease, to buying new or buying used, here's basically what we decided. The only reason you should buy a used vehicle is if you're truly trying to get yourself out of debt or to really save money. If you're trying to get yourself out of debt and you want to go and spend $5,000 on a used vehicle, that is the smartest thing you can do. If you are in debt and you are living paycheck to paycheck and you think it's wise to go and spend $479 a month on a brand new vehicle when you're at your limit per month, is a bad decision. You will always be in debt and you will never get ahead. You will never save. You're never going to have money to invest, and you're always going to be stuck to that one job or that one scenario because there's no way out because you have no extra money. Buying a used car, or if you have a car right now with a $400 payment, sell it, take the $2,000-$3,000 that you have in profit and go buy yourself a car that's $3,000-$5,000 to get you from point A to point B. And if you could save $500 a month over the next 3 years, that's $18,000 that you now have in a savings account that would have gone to a car that's still getting you back from point A to point B. So there's a lot of different options that you can do. But when we looked at buying a used car, we're in a position where, yes, we want to save money, but I'm very blessed to have an income that we don't, it's okay for us to spend a couple hundred dollars on a car because of the income. But the other negative about buying a used car is that technology is changing so rapidly. So again, buying a used car just to save money, you're also not getting the safety and benefits and convenience of a new car. The cool thing about buying a brand new car, if you have the means to do so, is that you're getting the highest technology that has to offer, the safety. Like our new car will brake for you. If you're driving, you know, too fast, my brakes will actually brake for me. Oh, excuse me. Take a sip of water here. If I'm reversing, it will brake for me as well. It's got the blind spots. It's got, now when I hook up my phone, I get my Google Maps on this screen, and it's a VW. It's not a luxury car. It's a nice, classy, nice car, but that is what's coming standard. So if you're going to get an older car like 2013 or 14, you're not going to have those safety features. You're not going to have those extra things that all these new cars are having. So that's something to think about. But there's really no difference between buying a new car and leasing a car. And I know people are going to say, yeah, but you're paying it off, or yeah, you're owning it. It's like, yeah. But at the bottom line, we're paying on a lease, or you're paying on a car, you're paying APR, or if you get lucky and there's none, or you're paying a little bit extra on, like, with leasing. But at the end of the day, after 3 years of owning or leasing, you're going to have the option to buy your car at the price, or you're going to be able to buy your car at the price that you have left on your loan. The flexibility of buying a new car is that you can sell it 3 weeks later. It's yours. You're in a contract with the lease. You could always break it. There's certain ways to do that, but that's kind of a pain in the butt. The other thing I love about a new car is the manufacturer warranty. There's a lot of different things that you can do. But if you have the means to do so, I think leasing nowadays with the technological advances is the smart way to go if you have the means to do so. If you have $45,000 in debt and you're living paycheck to paycheck, buying a new car or leasing a car is a bad idea. You are only keeping yourself in debt. You should take $3,000 to $5,000 and go get a beater or even a, there's like some nice older cars from point A to point B so that you can use that extra $300 to $500 a month to save and or pay off your debt quicker, which I'm going to get into the benefit of that more. Obviously there's a benefit of paying off your debt, but I want to really break down what that means. But that's what we decided to go with the lease is that we're at the point where we were able to go, you know what, $340 a month, we can afford. And after 39 months, when that's over, we can buy it for 13 grand if we want, or if technology in 39 months has grown, which I'm sure it will, we'll have the option to go, here's the car back, here's the keys, let's take a new one and continue the same payment kind of thing. Maybe you can get a signer drive like we did with no money down except for tax. So really look into that. The last thing I want to say about the car is depending on what your goals are too. You know, if you're working a job where you do have a couple hundred dollars a month extra and you are saving and you're doing all of that, it's still kind of a waste of money then to lease if you don't have a second job or side hustle that's going to allow you extra income at some point in your life. If you're going to just work that job that has the steady increase, which is great, if you're going to work that job that has the steady increase in raising, but it's going to give you just a couple extra $100 a month, it's probably more wise to get a car and keep a no car payment so that you can save that money over a 20, 30 year period. Because if you're going to go out and lease a car, think about this, for 20 years, if you keep leasing while you're working a job, leasing, that's $6,000 a year if it's $500 a month. $6,000 a year for 20 years. What's that? $120,000 of your hard-earned money that you've put on leasing a vehicle that you've just thrown out after 20 years. If you buy maybe say three cars in that time and say they're even $20,000 cars, that's $60,000, but they're your cars that you've bought and then sold. So over a 20-year period, you could actually have an extra $60,000 saved just by owning and paying off your car quickly than to lease forever. So I think leasing these are just different ways of thinking about it. I don't know what your goals are. That there's no end of every end. If I was talking to someone, we'd be able to see what your goals are. For someone who you know, yeah, everyone's individual, but I would really pay attention to what your goals are, what you want to do, because a car is, it's just ludicrous to me if you make $2,700 and you're spending $500 a month on a car that's parked 23 hours a day. It just isn't a good investment. From all the research I've done, from all the things I've lived, that's just not a smart thing. If you're making $7,000-$8,000 a month, your bills are $4,200 a month, and you go, hey, you know what? I'm going to spend $300 for the convenience of it, just lease the car, I'll get a new one. Then you have that luxury to do so. But if you're really trying to pay off debt or move forward or save or invest, a car can be a big trap. So really pay attention, but those are the options that you have there. The other interesting thing, because when I was in debt, the monthly bills, that is what was the biggest hindrance because it added to my overhead. So this, I was talking to my buddy and he had about $32,000 in debt. And I said, what are your minimums? And he goes, I pay a minimum on all the loans, including car and everything, credit cards, all that stuff. I pay a minimum of $900 a month. I was like, wow, $900 a month. So you're going to work clocking in and out to pay $900 a month minimum on cards that are, you're getting killed on interest. If you can focus on paying off that debt, don't just look at like, oh, I got 32 grand that I'm just going to throw away. No. You're paying off 32 grand as quickly as possible so that you can make $900 a month extra in income. If you're going to pay on that minimum for the next 20 years, then you have a $900 bill for almost ever. If you can pay that 32 grand off by getting a second job or starting a side hustle or selling some things or pulling back on your spending and pay that off, that's $900 a month that goes back into your pocket every single month. And if you were already budgeted to pay that 900, now you've got $900 extra a month, you're debt-free, that you can do a lot with. You can save 450 of it and invest 450 of it. That is the quickest way. I think Mark Cuban even said too, I think it was him. It's like, he's like, paying off your debt is the guaranteed way to make money. Because to make, Alyssa and I have started a lot of businesses. To make $900 a month, if you were like, I'm going to create a soda water, the investment, the risk, and the actual probability for you to create $900 a month that you can actually take home is just outrageously difficult. And it can be done, obviously. It's done every day, but it's very difficult because when you're building a business, that $900 you can't keep to go put into savings. You need to reinvest that $900 into your business to keep growing it and growing it. The easiest way is to pay off your debt so that that $900 comes back to you. It, like a light bulb went off to me. I was like, oh, but then the next thing is like, well, who cares, Freddie, if I have 10,000 saved? Like, what's the point? Like, what's blah, 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 blah. Well, here's the other philosophy that I never knew growing up. And I read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then just through things that I've learned in my life and people that I've spoken to, it's not just about saving money in case something happens. Like, I was on the defense, and guess what? Something did happen, and everything was gone. So all that hard-earned money I was saving, gone because of an accident or because of a theft, okay? But the reason that it was gone is because it was just money saved. It wasn't money invested. It wasn't money that was coming in from multiple streams. It was clock in, clock out, put money in the bank. Clock in, clock out, put money in the bank. Just so that if something happens, now you have that, but then something did happen, then you're back to zero, and now you're back to clocking in, clocking out, and having to do that all over again. But eventually you're gonna have to retire. And by the time, Jesus, for anyone who's 30 years old or 25 or 40 years old, $1 million just isn't gonna cut it by the time we're 90. Like, things are gonna be expensive. Things are gonna change. We need to figure out ways to have multiple streams of income. And that's how I live my life. I work as an actor. I don't know how long my job's ever gonna be. Every year I'm like, am I gonna work again? Am I gonna work again? Am I gonna work again? So I've had this mentality, I have to save, not for my future, but save to allow cushion till I find a new job. And I think a lot of people out there go, well, I'm a school teacher, I'm good for 40 years. That's not gonna go away. Very true, you have a more secure job than me. But you never know what's gonna happen. And if you rely just on one stream of income, I think that's very, that's leaving you very vulnerable. I think that's leaving you very vulnerable. Having just one stream, and that's why Alyssa and I are striving so hard to have multiple streams of income, because if something goes away like days, or something goes away like X, or something goes away like Y or Z, we have other options. And I think back in the day, even with my parents' age, even for people maybe 50 and old, before this whole internet thing started, how I grew up, where there was no other way to get jobs. It was kind of like you work 9 to 5, you either started a business or you didn't. There weren't side hustles per se. If you want a second job, a lot of people are like, well, Freddie, I'm not going to go to teach school and then go put on an apron and go serve tables at night. Like, geez, like, I got a life, I have kids, I have all this stuff. But you don't have to go serve and be on this rigid schedule. There are things like Uber and Lyft. There are things like Postmates, where you can deliver food on your own watch. There are things called WAG, where you go and walk people's dogs. There is a dog sitting app. There is things like Fiverr. Are you a good voiceover? Do you know how to write? What are your skill sets? You can teach, if you're a great accountant, you can go to Udemy and put up courses on accounting and charge people $5 to buy the class. There is an unlimited amount of money that you can make on a side hustle that's not even a business, but an actual just like independent contracting work that you can do on your own time. And that's what all adds up. But yet again, it goes back to, well, what am I going to do with this extra $600? But that is what we're working on now, is that I don't want to make an extra $600 to just go buy a pair of nice shoes. And I mean, I wear the same clothes all the time. Like, I have zero interest. But when I was 21 years old, I was buying $90 t-shirts like an idiot. That's going to come later in life when we have the extra money to play. But the thing I learned most in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I recommend everyone who cares about money to get that book. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki, he said a lot of things, but one thing that changed and blew my mind. If you want to buy toys, a Porsche, a $600 pair of shoes, a Gucci bag, whatever your toy may be, a vacation, your toys and luxuries should be bought with the money your money earned, not with the money that you earned from your time. Let me say that one more time. Your toys and luxuries should be bought from the money your money has earned, not from the money that you've earned with your time. So your clock in, clock out money should not go towards a $300 pair of shoes. That should go into a savings and investing account so that after 2 years, you and a friend have $10,000 each saved, you invest in a rental property, and all of a sudden you're renting it out and you're each making $250 a month until the damn thing's paid off in years, but you're making $250 a month. That $250 is your money working to make you that $250. That $250 you then can go that month and go, I'm gonna go buy those pair of shoes because my money made that. Another story for you. So in our apartment, this is kind of a good story, but we kind of messed up too, but the thought process was almost there. Alyssa and I invested in a tech company in, I don't know what it was now, 2016 or 2017. It was about a $2,000 investment. And we turned that into about 16 or 17 grand over like the course of a year and a half. And what we decided to do with that, which we should have actually invested it in real estate or something else, we decided, well, it's our money making money. So let's buy furniture. So we ended up furnishing this entire place. And this furniture is like really nice. And we're gonna be able to bring it with us everywhere we go. So it's not like we just blew it on like a night out in Vegas or something ridiculous. But we spent half of that money on furnishing this beautiful place. But not one piece of furniture was paid. Nothing in this place was paid from my clock in, clock out days of our lives money. It was from an investment that made us money. And that was one of our good investments. We've also made investments like Bitcoin, we lost money, other things we've lost money. So it doesn't always work, but we're always looking of how we can invest, have multiple streams, and to learn about investing and not just have it sit in a savings account and just wait. Because here's another thing I'll get into here. One of the other 2 cent comments is the whole like, man, you spent so much money on rent living in LA. You should be owning. I mean, your rent and your mortgage would be the same. Yet again, the 2 cents headline statement. Very true, but like, well, let's dig in a little bit. So when we started digging in and making calls and trying to figure this out, here's some things I discovered that I was never taught. And this, maybe you're looking, wow, Freddie, you were ignorant. Like, how did you not know? Everyone knows that. But I bet you there's a lot of people like me who don't think about this kind of thing. That is true, that if we were to get a place out here, it's equal to the rent. But when you go to buy a house, here's something I didn't know. Someone says, oh, you could put down 5%. You don't need 20%, which is true. But if you don't put down 20%, you have to pay a mortgage insurance each month, $100, $150, $200, depending on what your mortgage is, until 20% of your house is paid off. So that's $100 to $200 a month gone. Property taxes are included. And property taxes are with you forever, even when you pay your house off, which I get. You got to pay taxes, got to do your thing. But I was like, holy cow. So you buy a house, your property taxes are anywhere, it depends on what kind of your house, but like say it's a $250,000 house, you're probably looking to pay around $200, $225, $250 a month in property tax. If you're in a different county, that's a little more expensive, you might be paying $425 in property tax. Then you got your house insurance. So you got your property tax, your house insurance, which is going to be anywhere from $400 to $500 in perpetuity, forever. That is just, even when your house is paid off. And if you don't put down 20%, you're also going to pay another $50 to $200 in mortgage insurance. So now you're already racking up a $700 a month bill that's just going out the window. Yes, you can write off your property taxes. Yes, there's other things. I understand that. But then when it comes to the principal and the interest, when you're looking at what you're actually paying into your principal, it's very little. So if you're if it's $2,500, of that $2,500, $600 is going towards the principal of our house. Everything else is going towards interest, property taxes, PMI, and homeowner's insurance. Still a good investment, but things that, yet again, were never explained until I realized it. Another thing with interest, if you take a 30-year loan, you're going to pay almost 100% of what your house is worth in interest. So if you buy a $250,000 house, you're going to pay close to $179,000 to maybe $200,000 in interest over 30 years. So now that $250,000 home you bought is actually a $450,000 home that you paid into. So will that home in 30 years be worth that much more? Maybe, maybe not. Something to think about. I was like, huh, I never looked at that on paper. So I'm like, if I buy a $250,000 house, over 30 years, if I don't pay that off sooner, I'm gonna end up paying another $200,000. For an average person who's doing that, say the average income is $50,000 a year, you're working 4 whole years of your life just to pay the interest on the house that you own, that you're also paying property taxes and homeowners insurance on every single month. And then I learned when you do buy a house, you also have closing costs, which is around 2% as the buyer, around 5-6% as the seller. The 2% closing cost when you buy a home. So you put down 5%, but you're also putting down another 2%. So that's something extra. And then if you live in a place like I did in Ohio, there's seasons. There's fall, winter, spring, and summer. If you have a pool, there's chemicals and cleaning. You have to stain the deck. You got to cut the lawn. You have to have the lawnmower. You got to get the gas. You got to shovel the driveway, snowblow the driveway. The air conditioning goes, the heater goes. If you don't do anything to your house for 30 years, the resale value is going to be crap. You have to redo the windows and the shingles and the siding after a certain amount of time. The carpet, the hardwood, you have to update it. So my whole point is I still think it's a good investment to get a house. I understand building a family, having a home that's yours to be proud of. It's the American dream, and I'm still going to buy a house. But that is the conversation that I wanted someone to have with me. It's not, oh yeah, well, you should just buy a house. I mean, your rent's the same as your mortgage. Thank you. But there's all of this. There's an inspection fee as well. And then when you go and sell your house after 30 years, if you did put all this money into it and say you happen to break even, you have to pay as the seller 5%. You're paying 2.5% to each the seller and buyer's agents. So it's just a whole big thing. But there are pros and cons, but these are the kind of conversations that I want to start having. It's like, why is this the first time when I'm 31 years old that did I ever learn about mortgages, that this is what's in owning a home. This is what it means to keep debt. You know, even for my friend, $900 is minimum, $450 of that is interest. If he doesn't pay that off for 20 years, he's going to spend $100,000 in interest. I mean, we're just digging ourselves into a ditch over and over and over. So I don't want this to ever sound negative, but I'm just like, I'm blown away because everyone's given the headline 2 cents. Where's the rest of it? So I do a lot of research. I look at numbers. I go through all of this stuff. And I just want to keep learning and I want to keep sharing it with all of you because maybe you all know this and you're like, Freddie, I've known this for years. Or maybe you don't know. And like I didn't. I wish that someone that I watched, which I actually, Gary Vee, has mentioned that. And he got through to me about a year ago where he just goes, quit being fancy before you're fancy. Because your people are buying 6-bedroom homes and they only live in 3 of them, but they want to be in the neighborhood and have all the stuff. And then they're over leveraging themselves, which is keeping them stuck. True freedom is when you aren't stressed, when you're making, even if you make $3,200 a month after tax, but you're only spending $2,400 of it, you are richer financially than someone who makes $12,000 a month who spends $13,000 a month. So what? They have a bigger house and a nicer car. They're more stressed than you. I'm trying to have a less stressful life. I don't want to think about money. I would rather give up the nice clothes and the fancy cars and the fancy house as of now until I build something. And guess what? I guarantee it, and I bet you anyone who's 45, 50 years old can attest to this. I can only imagine. When I was 18, I wanted the same things. When I was 21, when I'm 31. I bet you when I'm 45 years old, I'm still going to want the things that I want, especially if I have the means to do so comfortably. I don't want to go get a payment on a Range Rover for $900 a month. I want to be able to look one day and go, hey, babe, you had a great year. Let's go celebrate and let's just go buy a Range Rover. When you can just go buy a Range Rover, that's when you buy a Range Rover. Not when you're like, oh, I got a raise. We just won't go to dinner one time a month. We can squeeze this extra car payment in. It's just not smart. And I wish I would have, and my parents told me this, friends told me this. You know, one of the best pieces of advice that always stuck with me and I never listened, and I wish I should reach out to her if she remembered me. I did a independent film when I was 19 years old that never did anything, never made it. And this woman told me, she goes, you're 19 years old. She goes, live in the same apartment you're in, spend none of your money until you're 30. And I was like, oh yeah. I'm like, I'm just waiting to get my first check. I got a Beamer coming. And
she told me a story that there was a friend of hers who was a series regular on a primetime show making millions of dollars. And for 7 years on that show, he lived in his same studio apartment and never got fancy. That is the greatest advice anyone could ever give to anyone who's 15, 18, 21 years old. I was there. I was buying things and flashing things to impress people that a lot of them aren't even in my life anymore. I should have been living off of a penny-pinched budget and stockpiling everything. And I could have already had 3, 4, 5 different rental apartments. I could have done so many things, but I didn't have the knowledge. And I'm not looking back dwelling. I'm just looking back to share like why I have the audacity to share these information, because I've made those mistakes. And that brings me, I'm not going to talk about it in this podcast because it'll be too long of a podcast, but that's what bugs me about the education system. I think it's unfair that we have to leave this in the hands of parents, friends, neighbors, and mentors to teach us the fundamentals about life that every one of us will have to deal with. Every one of us are going to buy, lease, or buy a used or new car. Everyone's going to rent or buy a home. Everyone has to do taxes. Everyone should invest in either real estate or stocks or something they like. None of it is taught. And we go into this world hungry, motivated, ignorant, 18 years old. And I had a 3.7 GPA, nice, bright kid. I wasn't stupid, but I was ignorant. I was naive. I was green. I didn't understand money. And money isn't everything, but money is our currency, in which in 2019, it means a lot. And how we use this tool can positively or negatively impact our health, friends, family, and significant other. A lot of marriages end. A lot of fights happen because of money. Imagine that the things you could help your family with, your friends with. Oh my God. If I had the wealth the things I would do for people. That's my mission in life. I would be a philanthropist full time if I ever won the lottery. That's the greatest thing in the world is to give to people and to take care of your health. Imagine having a chef or a personal trainer all the time. Oh my God, getting stretches and getting the best of everything. It can only enhance it. But we live in this world where sometimes people go, well, money's not everything. It's like, but it's what we think about all the time. It's what we think about all the time. And I had not much, a lot, then way not any, and then some again, all within an 8 to 10 year period. And it's very fresh in my mind of how I felt. My friends treated me no differently. My happiness was no different. I was happy when I was all through my 10 years, I was happy. But there's something about the freedom of choice that gives you a sparkle that can only be explained for people who haven't been stressed out by bills. And I think that's something magical that a lot of people don't want to talk about because it can become personal. And it doesn't need to be personal. Some people don't need the material stuff, and this isn't about that, but it's about if you're stressing or complaining, then take a step to fix your finances. And this is something I'm really, really passionate about. And you can ask a few of my friends, like, I am obsessed. And I think maybe one day we'll do like a live Zoom if someone wants to be very personal on air. And if you have like a mess of credit cards and debts and all this mess, and you feel comfortable sharing your debts and your bills and your income, and we could go live and sit down. I do this for people, especially my one friend. I do it for him all the time. Every 6 months to a year, we look at everything and we go through it and we make sense of it so that you have a plan. Because if you're in debt, behind in bills, you're making this, we can really figure out what needs to be done to get you ahead. And another person, I don't know how many people are a fan of him or not, but Dave Ramsey is a phenomenal guy when it comes to finance. He's taught me so much. But just so you have an idea and a plan and a mindset that it's not just about buying things. It's about setting things up for your future. So I want to dig into money a lot more in the future. And the more I start learning about buying a home, the more I start learning about building businesses, I'm going to share things with you. When I learn things, even in politics, it's one thing I really want to get into, but it's just such a landmine. And I don't want to be political, but there are certain topics that I'm so interested in because I've looked at both sides, and I want to bring to all of you an unbiased both sides of like, here's all the facts and here's all the facts. Make up your mind that best suits you. And I don't think there's enough of that in today's world. It's like, you need to lease my car, because if you lease now, or hey, buy this car now, you need to do this, buy a house, rent a house, do this, spend here, take a vacation. You got to have a vacation. Plus all the Instagram stuff. Oh my God. Everyone's going out of their damn minds with, we're being sold a lot of stuff. And I just want to open this platform to be like, all right, here's what I learned. You can either think I'm right or wrong. I don't care if you lease, buy, walk, ride a bike, or crawl to work. I don't care. I just want to share where I'm at in my life and what I've learned. And just to give you something to think about. So you go, no, I'm going to buy a house. Maybe I should pay off my debt. Or maybe I could think about that differently. And if not, all good too. I'm not here to preach. I have no vested interest other than to give you a valuable podcast. But that, I have other stuff on here, but I'm not going to make the podcast go any longer. Really, that's one thing Dave Ramsey says. Every dollar needs to have a name. You know, if you don't know what your monthly bills are exactly, and if you don't figure out a way to cut back on eating out, if you're trying to save money or pay off debt, but there's a freedom, and I think that's where the true success lies. It's not about the amount of money. It's about the amount of money that you have after, as long as you're not spending your exact amount or more than what you're making. It doesn't matter whether it's $10,000 a year or $10 million a year. It's just that you're surrounded by great people and that you have this tool. This, I don't have no money around me, but money is a tool in 2019 that is very good to have, and having extra of it is very good. It's very safe, and it gives you options to be the best you can be without desperation, without these Hail Marys. And I got into that. I was like, I'm going to throw a Hail Mary. This is going to get everything back. And it just doesn't work. You got to build. You got to be patient. And there's a lot of stuff that I'm learning there. So thanks for, I was just kind of all over the place today, but I was just wanting to speak whatever came to my mind. I had a few notes and I don't even know why I had it here because I didn't even really follow it. So appreciate all of your time. I'd love to hear your comments on this. It's something I'm very passionate about. Anything money or numbers, I like am over the moon excited about to hear. So I'd love for you to comment below if you're listening to the audio, DM us on Insta or go to Facebook under the video and like, let's get a dialogue started. I want to see what people really, what we think and how we're all, thinking about money and our relationship with it. So thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back next time.